ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। इत्यर्थवीर्य विदुषी भुवने भवशोभनम् उषाः देवी दृष्टया निर्जितात्माभिमानिने इत्यत्ताद्विर्विदुषे भुवने भवशोभनम् उषः देवी दुष्टया निर्जितात्माभिमानिने इत्यत्ताद्विर्विदुषे भुवने भवशोभनम् उषः देवी दृष्टया निर्जितात्माभिमानिने। Translation, iti, thus, atthadvirya vidushi, when Chitraketu, who did not know the prowess of Lord Shiva, Bhuvane, spoke, bahu ashobhanam, that which is not up to the standard of etiquette, the criticism of the exalted Lord Shiva. Rusha, With anger.
Aha.
Uh-huh.
Said.
Devi.
Devi.
The goddess Parvati. Dishtaya. Unto Chittaketu.
Who was quite shameless.
Nirjitatma. As one who has controlled his senses.
Abhimanine.
Thinking of himself.
Translation.
Not knowing the prowess of Lord Shiva and Parvati, Chittaketu strongly criticized them. His statements were not at all pleasing, and therefore the goddess Parvati, being very angry, spoke as follows to Chittaketu, who thought himself better than Lord Shiva in controlling their senses. Please repeat. Not knowing the prowess of Lord Shiva and Parvati, Chittaketu strongly criticized them.
His statements were not at all pleasing.
And therefore the goddess Parvati,
being very angry,
spoke as follows to Chittaketu, who thought himself better than Lord Shiva in controlling the senses.
Purport by Divine Grace Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Although Chittaketu never meant to insult Lord Shiva, he should not have criticized the Lord, even though the Lord was transgressing social customs. It is said, Tejiya Samha Doshaya. One who is very powerful should be understood to be faultless. For example, one should not find faults with the sun, although it evaporates urine from the street. The most powerful cannot be criticized by an ordinary man, or even by a great personality. Chittaketu should have known that Lord Shiva, although sitting in that way, was not to be criticized. The difficulty was that Chittaketu, having become a great devotee of Lord Vishnu, Shankarshan, was somewhat proud of having achieved Lord Shankarshan's favor, and therefore thought that he could now criticize anyone, even Lord Shiva. This kind of pride in a devotee is never tolerated. A Vaishnava should always remain very humble and meek and offer respects to others. Jinadapi sunichena dorodapi sahishnuna amalina amalina kirtinaya sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the store in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. A Vaishnava should not try to minimize anyone else's position. It is better to remain humble and meek and chant the Hare Krishna mantra. The words Nirjitat Atma Bhimanini indicates that Chittaketu thought himself a better controller of the senses than Lord Shiva, although actually he was not. Because of all these considerations, Mother Parvati was somewhat angry at Chittaketu.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Sandavadi Pasati Satharine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Sri Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Translation again, not knowing the prowess of Lord Shiva and Parvati, Chittaketu strongly criticized them. His statements were not at all pleasing, and therefore the goddess Parvati, being very angry, spoke as follows to Chittaketu, who thought himself better than Lord Shiva in controlling the senses. Continuing the wonderful section of the sixth canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, the story of Chittaketu and Vritrasura, which is full of
transcendental instructions and enlightenment. Here where it is, we find that Chittakitta actually made a mistake criticizing, especially criticizing Lord Shiva. And then there's going to be a curse. So this is the material world is like this. It's full of problems. Nothing goes smoothly for very long. Here we're talking about the top-notch people of the universe. Right? You don't get any more exalted personalities than we have here. Lord Shiva, he's the topmost living entity in the universe. Durga Devi, Sati, controlling all the living entities under her control. Chittaketu is a pure devotee. Darshan, he's just a darshan with the Lord, just spoken with the Lord, giving instructions. So even in an assembly of such exalted living entities, they're having problems. So what to speak of us? Of course, this is a transcendental display arranged by the Lord according to the acharyas, who say that Chittaketu was inspired to blurt out, "Hey, look at Lord Shiva sitting in that company with his wife on his lap, and he's got his arm up around her in the company of great sages. He's given instructions, but he's sitting like that. It's like a, you know, it seems like a rasa bus, because he's a yogi. He's a detached. Actually, he is detached. So it really doesn't. Lord Shiva is unaffected. He's an avatar of the Lord, practically speaking. So he's not different from the Lord in that sense. He's indifferent to the effects or laws of the material energy. He's not have to oblige social customs. He's beyond all that. And that is one, sometimes the Lord also does that. We see himself, he acts sometimes against the principles of so-called social norms. But that's also a display of his independence. He is the Supreme Lord, he can do what he likes. And you have to accept that. He's the Lord. He's making the rules, he can break them. So the laws don't apply to him, he's making the laws. So if he wants the laws to work this way, it works this way. If he wants it to work the opposite way, it'll work the opposite way. So he's indifferent to that. He's doing it. The rules are there for our benefit. The rules are rules in life. There to elevate our consciousness, that we can gradually be promoted to the mode of goodness. That's what rules mainly are for. So this was inspired by the Lord. Otherwise, all these three personalities, you know, practically speaking, they're beyond all these dualities of the material world. They're, you know, eternal associates, pure devotees of the Lord. But for the story, for the instructions, then we get this wonderful narrations coming up, so everyone can learn by it. Although it seems, you know, the question was asked by Prickett, how come he's a pure devotee, he becomes a demon in his next birth? Doesn't seem to make sense. Just not fair, you know. So people will question, why is that? Like, Parvati showing anger, that, you know, who is this upstart? He's coming, he's an uninvited guest. He comes in and starts criticizing Lord Shiva. He doesn't know who he is. Who is this person anyway? Or, you know, it depends on how affected by the modes of nature we would actually we would be, you know, from a very gross position. Hey, he's my husband, so she gets angry because he's my husband, and I'm not going to tolerate or someone who's a bit more elevated, they may argue, hey, he's a rascal, he's breaking the laws, the rules of morality or proper etiquette, proper behavior, religious, or yeah, like that. And then more advanced, more in the mode of goodness, they would correct him on the religious principles, that what he's doing is actually wrong. So, they're actually above all this, so we can understand his leader. But according to our association in the modes of nature, then that much we're going to tolerate of the material energy. How much can we tolerate? Lord Shiva tolerated, right? He didn't say anything. He just smiled. When after Kichchaketu spoke, then Lord Shiva smiled. I mean, he wasn't fazed. He was transcendental. And all the sages there, they all looked at Lord Shiva. They wasn't going to say anything. But Parvati, inspired by the Lord, she made the outburst. Hey, what do you think you're doing? And Lord Shiva, you know who you're talking to? So these kind of conflicts and awkward situations, they're always there in the material world. You can't avoid them, even on this level. Lord Shiva, according to social etiquette, Lord Shiva, it was improper. Right? You can say that Lord Shiva was wrong socially. It's not really acceptable standard behavior in normal circumstances. Chitraketu, he wasn't wrong. He was right in pointing out that, hey, look, you're an exalted personality. Whatever great people do, common people will follow. You're the teacher. You should teach by example. You're the acharya. He wasn't wrong, but it was Lord Shiva, so he was wrong. Parvati shouldn't have cursed him, but she didn't know. Well, she was right. She was right. He was criticizing Lord Shiva. Nobody's greater than, who's greater than Lord Shiva? So how can you criticize Lord Shiva? So he's saying he's become puffed up. He's not a Vaishnava. How can he speak like that against Lord Shiva, the greatest Vaishnava? therefore, he's fallen. That's how she was seeing. That's how the story line goes. And so she was right. Right? He was criticizing a great soul. He was trying to correct. He was giving instructions to the master who gives instructions. That's Lord Shiva. He instructs everyone in the universe. So how can you instruct that person? He's the greatest teacher, greatest personality. So she was right in saying that. How you dare criticize Lord Shiva? You know who he is? Who are you? King. You're criticizing this great, the greatest of all sages, Mahadev. And she was right. She was wrong to become angry. She didn't have to get angry. So you see, there was right. They're both. It depends how you look at it. You know, they're right and they're wrong. And you know what was the proper thing to do in that circumstance. And so in the material world, these situations always present themselves to us where we really don't know what to do. It's very, 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 very confusing. Huh? What is the proper direction? And many different scriptures are seemingly saying contradictory things about proper behavior, because the different scriptures are dealing with different people. The scriptures for those in the mode of passion, those in the mode of goodness, those in the mode of ignorance. So there seems some contradiction there. Even when, in the case of Drupadi, when she was being insulted, and she was asking everyone, what is the proper course of action now? Can the Pandavas order me around because everybody lost me in a dice game? Or what is my actual situation? Nobody could answer. So then she went to Bhishma and Mahajan. Eh? When there's any doubt, it's the Mahajans that will resolve. You take shelter of the Mahajans. If there's any doubt, they're the ultimate conclusion. So then Bhishma Dev was there. So then she approached Bhishma Dev. What is the answer? What is the solution? What is the Siddhanta? And he said something like, the ways of morality are very difficult to understand. Yeah, thanks a lot. He wasn't getting into it either. Of course, the acharyas say that Bhishma knew that nobody can touch Draupadi while Krishna's on the planet. It wasn't possible. Not possible. So therefore, this must be Krishna's arrangement. I don't know what it is, he said, but it must be Krishna's arrangement, otherwise this couldn't happen to Draupadi. Krishna wouldn't allow this to happen. So therefore, it's his arrangement. I don't know what the arrangement is, so I'm going to stay mum also. So that was a situation. It's difficult. It's difficult to understand what is right, what is wrong. So even on that level, So these are the lessons of etiquette we're learning by this chapter, this particular chapter, that after he is cursed, then he's not at all affected. He actually smiles. And he comes and pays his obeisances to Mother Parvati and apologizes. I'm sorry for upsetting you. I'm sorry you took it like that. It wasn't my intention. I'm sorry you took it like that. Anyway, Jai Ho, you've said it, you've done it, let it be. And he was smiling. And it says that Srila Prabhupada says in the purport later on that he said that, you know, Mother Parvati wants to curse me. Oh, that's what she wants to do. Okay, let me go along with it. If that's what she wants, that's what my mother wants, then okay. Then there was no trying to get out of it. And he was a powerful, right? We've heard he's referred to as a powerful mystic yogi. Millions of years he was flying around in that divine aircraft with the full bodily strength. He had so much power. He could have tried to counteract, get out of it, ask for forgiveness. But he thought, well, you know, why should I interact with this? It's really nothing to do with the devotional service. Because he was wandering around having Sankirtan for millions of years. So this has nothing to do with devotional service. And that's why Shiva stayed mum. He didn't say anything. This has nothing to do with devotional service. It must be the modes of nature. So he didn't. Shiva didn't bite. And the Durga couldn't tolerate. She had to say something. This is too much to tolerate. How can I hear this? My husband, not only my husband, a great exalted personality being criticized. I can't do that. I can't do that. But as the acharyas also point out, if it was actually if he had actually meant it as an insult, just like Daksha did when he cursed Lord Shiva, he criticized him. But he said it was actually like that. He said all the sages, they would have left, it covered their ears, they would have protested, right? That's the thing to do. If you hear blasphemy, you should immediately cover your ears and leave that place. But they didn't go. So they left it up to Lord Shiva. They let him set the mood. So he wasn't fazed, Lord Shiva. So he was also smiling. This is the understanding what's going on. Some noise from the material energy, from the modes of nature, giving some signal. And who's gonna go there? Who's gonna turn and face that and deal with it? So it depends on how, that depends on our actual tolerance level, how much we can tolerate the modes of nature and how much we have to deal with them. That determines how, you know, position in the material world and spiritual advancement. Basically, Prabhupada said, the best situation is to remain here, sit there, Trinada, peace, and you know. If you always remain like that, more tolerant than the tree, ready to offer respect, not expecting respect for yourself, being humble like a tree, tolerant, grass. And this way, then you're not going to disturb anyone. Of course, probably someone would be disturbed even if you were like that. What kind of man are you? What kind of wimp are you? You're humble, let everyone tread on you, you know, be stand up, be a man, you be somebody, and that's material life. So you probably would get criticized, but then you probably wouldn't associate with those people like that. But that's a safe position. Because the problem is, the basic problem of material existence is that we think we're the controllers and the enjoyers. So Prabhupada said, liberation means when I act as Prakriti instead of Purusha, that is liberation. So when you're acting like this, with this particular mood, you know, humble, tolerant, not making any waves, not trying to get recognized, not trying to correct, because, you know, by recognition we want, and we try to correct people, that means I'm above you, I know better than you. So you just stay out of it in the material world. Difficult, but this is the recommendation. Stay away from that. Because remember, the whole material world, we're the eternal servants of Krishna. We have a loving relationship with Krishna. And now that's been covered by these different degrees of material energy, different coverings. So that the whole purpose of the Maya is to preoccupy our attention. That's her business. So she does it in so many dazzling ways and frightening ways and exciting ways. And she does that too. And our senses go, well, you know, something, we have to see what's going on there. We have to address this situation. If it's fearful or it's exciting or it's attractive. So then we go there to check it out, right? Check out how we can improve our situation there. How can we get more happiness by going that way? So this is how Maya does it. She doesn't actually put a rope round your neck and pull you, right? Put a gun in your back and say, go, 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 you got to do it. She doesn't do that. She's just presenting her two faces, the attractive and the repulsive side. And we're reacting on that when we contact that, then we make the reactions to, according to that. So that is how we interface with Maya. So either like the karmis and the gyanis, they're doing the same thing. They're both interacting. The karmis are interacting, trying to exploit Maya, enjoy Maya. And the gyanis are interacting, trying to control Maya or become free from Maya. So they're both preoccupied with Maya. So Prabhupada said there's two sides of the same coin. So those two have to be given up as a futile attempt, because you cannot enjoy Maya, you cannot control Maya. So what's the alternative? No, that's all we want to do. We got to seek comfort, right? Because the material world is uncomfortable. We got to look for comfort. That necessary, otherwise we suffer. And we got to have some enjoyment when we have some leisure time we want to enjoy, otherwise what's the meaning for life? So that drive is always there, those two things are always there, because that's our constitution, sat and ananda. So that drive will never go away. But when we're trying to satisfy that desire in the material world, then that's called illusion, Maya, because it's actually not there. So that's how Maya has us bound up. Yeah. So here's something happened. There's a reaction. Parvati, there's no reaction from Lord Shiva. He's just smiling. Okay. Something's going to happen. Something's happening. Chitaketu is talking a lot. He's saying some things, and then the whole debate whether he's right, whether he's wrong. quoting this scriptures, quoting that scriptures, and you know, then the whole debates begin, and all the gyanis and the others, they start to discuss what is right and what is wrong, what is moral, what is immoral, what is justice, what is injustice. All these factors come into play. But it's all, you're actually dealing with the material energy, which is basically ignorance, illusory, it's temporary. So there's no, you can't really justify anything like that. However nicely you arrange it and label it and sort it all out, it's still ignorant material energy, which has nothing to do with the living entity, and cannot help him in any way whatsoever. We're supposed to be, it's because of our focusing our attention on the material energy, that is the cause of our attachment, that is the cause of all our problems. One has to become indifferent to the material energy, but you can't actually become indifferent to it because she's so attractive and she's so fearful. So unless you actually get something better, unless you got shelter somewhere else and something more rewarding, then you can't actually be indifferent. Because that drive for that security and happiness is always there. So therefore, really, so it's only in bhakti, because bhakti is the only way to attract Krishna, and is the only other shelter. There's no other shelter, right? In the material world, there's no shelter, and there's only those two things as far as we can understand: the material world and the spiritual world. So. Who is wrong, who is right? But as when Chittaketu comes down, apologizes, and he's quite happy, smiling, let it be, whatever you want this to happen. And then he goes, and he tells why he's like that, he's equipoised, and he explains why he's equipoised, and he gives all this philosophy, transcendental knowledge, and about, you know, the Lord and his energies. And everyone is amazed, astonished. Even Lord Shiva is astonished at this. What a devotee, what a great devotee. He's like almost, because he has the same consciousness like Lord Shiva, he's completely indifferent to the material energy. Although the material energy personified is sitting on his lap and he's got his arm around her, so how can he say he's indifferent? But this is Lord Shiva, and who can understand Lord Shiva? So then he enlightens everyone, and everyone's just stunned. And then he goes and leaves, and everyone's just, you know, wow, sitting there with their mouths open. What have we just heard? What have we just seen? And then Lord Shiva, then he starts to speak. Then he starts to glorify Chittaketu. These are the activities, this is the consciousness of the Vaishnavas. You learn something from this. And then Lord Shiva gives same transcendental knowledge about the Lord's material energies, about his spiritual energies, about the Lord himself, and about the position of his devotees. And he's glorifying Chittaketu, and Parvati becomes sober, her anger goes down, her intelligence becomes steady, and then she feels ashamed. What have I done? I've cursed the great Vaishnava. And she becomes sorry that she's done it. And Lord Shiva tells, actually, he said Chittaketu is the star. He's the actual hero here. The whole hero of the story is Chittaketu. Because it's not really the circumstance. It's not a question who is right and who is wrong. This would be the debate, right? You judge it on morality and justice. How we would who is right and who is wrong? But that's actually not the case, because you're in the material world. What is right and what is wrong? What is good and what is bad? Everything is bad, actually. But there are rules there. But the rules are only to purify us. The rules are to keep us out of tamagun and rajagun, especially. At least stay in sattagun, then it's easier transmission to the transcendental platform. So who is right, who is wrong, that's not really the issue. The real point is that how one conducts oneself in times of adversity. Whether it's right, good situation or bad situation, whether right or wrong, that's not really the issue, but it's how you carry yourself through that situation. So Chittaketu was completely equipoised all the way through. He was transcendental. He wasn't relating to these lower truths like Dharma, religious, proper etiquette, morality. He was relating to that, you know, we're devotees of Krishna. We're supposed to be in the spiritual world. It's a much better place to serve him in the spiritual world. We should actually be there. So he was actually the hero. He was the star, because he showed by his own example that he never budged from his devotion to Krishna. He never took time from his devotion to Krishna to address these issues. Oh, I've been cursed. I shouldn't have been cursed. I wasn't right. It wasn't my fault. Or, you know, let me adjust the situation. No. Why should I leave devotion to address these things? That was his consciousness, and that was his activity. So that's why everyone was amazed at his transcendental situation and his devotion to Krishna. So that was the real important point which was brought out there. And of course then we understand it was the Lord's plan to take Chittaketu back. So then he took that curse, took birth as a Vritasura, and then went back to Godhead. So it's actually a win-win story. Right? The Lord's was happy, his desire was fulfilled, he got his devotee back to him quickly, one birth, one more birth. Chittaketu went back to Godhead. Lord Shiva met a Param Vaishnava, had some good association for a little while. Parvati was more enlightened, all the sages got enlightened, we got enlightenment. So everyone is actually benefited. But if you're agnostic or quarrel argument, then you say, why would he do such a thing? You're still stuck on this point. Why is supposed to be all love, but you see he lets his devotee become a demon. Why is this? How can he be good? How can God be all merciful? He allows so many bad things to happen to good people. You get stuck on this thing. They don't see that what the actual story was. That was, he went back to Godhead. Everyone got enlightened. So this is, the book is for the Paramahansas, or those in the mode of goodness, the Srimad Bhagavatam. Other people can't appreciate it so much. So it's a win-win. And then at the end of the chapter, there's a special benediction for everyone. We're learning what the proper behavior is from all this. So that's the real point of it, is just so the Srimad Bhagavatam can be spoken for the enlightenment from us living entities especially now in Kali Yuga, that we get the proper enlightenment from it. Now here's at the end of the chapter, a benediction for us. Chittaketu was a great devotee, Mahatma. If one hears this history of Chittaketu from a pure devotee, the listener is also freed from the conditioned life of material existence. Very well. Just by hearing from a pure devotee. I'll get some more pure devotees up here. See tomorrow who's coming. Then the last sloka. One who rises from, if you're really serious, if you're really fired up about going back to Godhead. One who rises from bed early in the morning and recites this history of Chittaketu, controlling his words and mind and remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will return home back to Godhead without difficulty. There you go. Thank you. extra bonus at the end there. From the, apart from the enlightenment, you get your, a quick ticket back to Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jetaketu ki jay lupobhada ki jay antayo pravdandi. Hare Krishna. You may go, otherwise if there's any questions, I don't mind staying. Priya. Mr. Priya. 1, 2. We have mic? Mic?
Thank you very much for this wonderful class. We can see how the Goswamis always went to Mahajan, Lord Shiva, to give their obeisances. Also, Srila Prabhupada did that so many times. Other exalted devotees feel in the same way. I've always missed, actually, the presence of Lord Shiva in a form here in Mayapur. Of course, we have in some Simantadham, Simantini Devi, Durga Devi as Prada Yoga Maya, and then behind we have the hidden Lord Shiva for us, but it's still a little bit far. And I was thinking or hoping in my mind if there is any project for the TOVP to have the presence of Lord Shiva here at Mayapur, or if I should just transcend this idea of my knowing perfectly well that Advaita Acharya is a bhakti avatar of Lord Mahavishnu and Shambhu.
Sarasiva, yeah. There was talk of having a lingam, but I don't think that's going to happen anymore. But he's here in the Dham, he's everywhere in the Dham, all the different directions. So he acts as the Ketrapal, he's a protector of the Dham. He protects it from the non-devotees, along with Prodamaya. And Sharashiva, that means Surasattva Shiva, not the general Shiva that most people worship in India for material benedictions. But this one is Shambhu, Vaishnava. We have, recently we've excavated a small pond, Shiva Dova, near the Bhaktivedanta Hospice, opposite there, hospital, clinic, down the road. Opposite there, there's a place called Shiva Dova, and it was getting encroached and built upon that area. So we've dug a pond there, so that's where Lord Shiva would meditate to preserve that place. That can be developed in the future, but at least now the preservation is there. Then on the other side of the road, that's the Mayapur Prikram part, Panchakos Prikram. It's where the Ganges used to flow that way. And there were many ghats there. And I think the first one is Shiva Ghat, Shiva and Prodamaya. Prodamaya who covers the Dham for the non-devotees. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when the Ganges flooded here for 500 years of floods and moving, then they moved Shiva and Parvati, Prodamaya, they moved to what we call Navadvip town now. This was actually before, this is Navadvip. But they moved to the high ground in Koladvip, that's a Navadvip town. And you know, in Parmtala, if you go to the market, there's a huge banyan tree and all kinds of market underneath that place. And there they worship, so it's called Paramtala, it was called Prodatala. That was the place where Prodamaya went, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But now that worship, there's no deity there, the worship is being done by smartas, and they just worship, they establish a ghat, a pot. And they install a pot, then they do the daily worship. There's also a very old Shiva temples there, you can see it's very quaint, romantic, and old temples crumbling and banyan trees growing right on top of the temple, and the roots are coming down, it's very picturesque, very mystical. It's dark, it's such a big tree. So, and then in the Navadvipa Dhammatma or Bhavatanga, then Jiva asks what happens to Prodhamaya and Shiva. And he said, well, after the Ganges goes back to a steady course, which is like this time, 500 years, he said, once again, people will start to live here in Mayapur, and many houses will come up, and many new ghats will come. And then, at that time, then, Prodhamaya, she will come back here, take her residence again, and start her task of revealing the Dham, the lost places in the Dham, the ones, you know, many places we know, but there's many places which we don't know of the Tirthas here, the pastime places of the Lord and His associates. So I said, she will come, once again, she will come back and start to reveal all those lost places. So that's how the Janus's desire is to once again bring, and it's a deity of Parvati. It'll be like Durga. She'll be like Durga with 10 arms, sitting on a tiger, probably. And Shiva. So we've located the place, the ghat, and we're working on developing and building a small temple so Lord Shiva will be there with Prodhamaya or Parvati as protector of the Dham. And they protect it. That means they allow you into the Dham. They also reveal the Dham because they protect it from the non-devotees. But if by their mercy, if you get the mercy of Prodhamaya and Ketrapala or Sadashiva, because also he's in charge of the false ego, so then he can remove these things. They can remove the coverings, and then we can get access to the Dham, and more places will be revealed. So that's our intention. So he's gradually becoming manifest. You give a donation? Can make a temple? Yeah, we see mistakes are there, or so-called faults, even with the greatest devotees, Lord Brahma, the head of our sampradaya. So, but they're not considered. It says those great personalities, they're so great that they're not affected like us. If we do something which is against religious principles, it's sinful, then you get a sinful reaction. But they're so great that reaction doesn't happen. They're so powerful that doesn't, it just bounces off. Even Lord Indra, he could transfer his karma, his bad karma, he gives it to someone else. So they're great personalities, and they're not criticized because they're not under the same, they're not affected like we're affected. So that's why it said they should act according to the to set the example, although they have no need to act. They have no need to follow the rules. Well, the rules are for purification. Try to understand. That's the whole purpose of rule, is to keep you away from Maya and insulate you from Maya. And gradually, the rules, the more you follow, the more strict you become, the more you advance, then there's more rules, right? From Sudra. Not so many rules, Savaisha, more rules, Kachya, more rules, Brahmana, more rules, Dvija, Prohit, there's more, you can't look left or right. Right? But where is it? That's Krishna. That's what they want to do. The rules are heading you towards Krishna. That's what they're for. But if you know Krishna, then what is the use of following the rules and regulations or practicing austerity or this? There's no need. And if you haven't got Krishna, then what's the use of following all the rules? So they're not affected, they're above that, they've achieved the purpose of it. So then the rules don't apply to them anymore. They apply to those who haven't understood the purpose of the rules, or haven't achieved the purpose of the rules. Once you've achieved the purpose, then the rules don't apply. Therefore, help us to purify our existence, the rules. But these souls are already purified. So they bounces off of that. Sin bounces off of them. So-called sinful activities, because they're not doing it. They're great. They're not doing it necessarily with the intention that we would be doing it to enjoy or to control a situation. And we can't understand their minds. It may look exactly like that. Apparently, it may be like that. It's an ordinary, act of material act. But we can't understand their minds and their modus operandi, or the way the Lord uses His pure devotees to set an example, like Jarabharat. He used it to set an example. Or King Yudhisthira to set an example. Shouldn't gamble. So pure devotees, they act in a way to teach what not to do. So the guru, the acharya, he'll behave properly. But the big devotees, they may act in such a way to give a lesson of what not to do. That's also there. But they're great devotees, not ordinary. So it doesn't. They're not affected by those things. They're transcendental. Yeah. I guess.
Case of Lord Shiva, there was Parvati who cursed Chitraketu, and who curses an offender or a criticizer in the case of ordinary devotee?
Sorry? Who curses? Ordinary, the ones who criticize ordinary devotees. Well, it says if you criticize devotee, that criticism comes back and comes back to you. So because that's Vaishnava apparatus, is a very serious thing. So in other words, that criticism comes right back and you get it. You get the reaction from that. They don't get it if. The other devotees. So always, this is a safe position. Jinnada bhisana, jinnada charala. That's a safe position to be in. Don't make any waves. Don't offend anyone. Just maintain your bhajan and, that's a safe position. And it's perfection. When it's done for Krishna.
And also, it was said that due to this curse, Chitraketu went back to Godhead quickly. So, is it because of situation, or it's everyone can get back to Godhead in this way?
Try. Well, if you get cursed by someone like Durga, then you're not doing bad. it means you got the association with a pure devotee, and a moment's association with a pure devotee is unlimited benefit. So it's probably worth it, whatever the curse is. Good luck. Hare Krishna. Sri Prabhupada ki jai.